This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It is a cold day, a brisk day, with clouds breaking for some sunshine, a high temperature of 34. It's 29 degrees right now. Feels like 19 because of the wind chill.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of business news, even as the markets are closed today. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco, yesterday the Dow sank nearly 800 points. All three averages fell 3 to almost 4% as Wall Street looked for details of a U.S.-China trade truce and found none. Today, as you just mentioned, Wall Street is closed as per the tradition for a presidential funeral. But the stock market might have done better. Stock futures are not the most reliable indicator, but they were higher this morning because China now is saying its weekend meeting with the U.S. was very successful and it will move to implement some of the areas of agreement as soon as possible. The statement is also light on details, but it does confirm a 90-day truce, and it looks like China is getting ready to restart imports of U.S. soybeans and liquefied natural gas. That is the first confirmation of White House claims that China had agreed to start buying some U.S. products immediately. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we are not talking about the markets because they're closed. However, we're talking about money, saving for your retirement, starting in kindergarten.
Yeah, Personal Finance Wednesday, and not only will we talk about your kids saving for retirement, but also various age groups, including millennials and some of those boomers who are thinking more seriously about retirement these days. Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas will join us. Property taxes are not due yet, but the bills are already available online. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, we're talking about jobs for all different ages this afternoon. And joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line is Judy McNiff. We're talking about how it's never too early to teach your children about money. And Judy is a certified financial planner for McNiff Money Management in Deerfield and author of the book, How to Tame the Money Monster. Welcome to our program, Judy. We're talking about very young children who can start thinking about their retirement.
Yes. You know, most people tell me that when they get ready to retire, that they wish they had started saving much earlier, and they wish they had learned better money management skills as a kid. Because schools can't teach them practical money skills. That's really our job. And there's several steps, several keys and tips as to how to get them started. First question I always get is allowance. Should we give them allowance? And these are where these jobs can start in learning how to save some of the work from their jobs, save some of the money from their jobs. So they should get allowance. It's kind of like learning how to ride a bike. You can't learn how to ride a bike unless you have a bike. So learning practical money management, they've got to have some money. So it's okay to start as young as five, start learning some of the basics about money and where it comes from and how you get it.
And this the point is to have money for college or to keep it there, through your life.
Well, that would could be both. It depends on the family, as kids or in grade school into high school. It depends on the family, and if they think that a child needs to be saving some for college, that would be up to the family. But the younger ages that you had mentioned, learning basics of work and being paid for work, I like to do two things. Have a family put together what we call the who does what list, and then put together the who pays for what list. So in the who does what, you know, there's a lot of things that keep your family running day to day, and everybody's a part of it, you know, whether it's washing dishes, making the bed, taking the garbage out. Everybody contributes. Everybody is part of the team. So you're helping kids understand what they're responsible for and that they do have their jobs to do. And should allowance be tied to these daily chores? I don't think so, because when you grow up, you don't get paid for doing those. But there should be consequences for not doing them. But think about additional chores outside of the day-to-day, emptying the garbage and walking the dog. And once in a while, there's washing windows or sweeping out the garage, and those can be additional things to get paid for.
So talk about it practically. If parents, if you have a 5 or 6 year old, how do you actually save for retirement? I mean, they can't open a retirement account, can they?
That's a very good question. A parent can open and do an IRA for their children. It's kind of a custodial account that they can set money aside into. And it can be used for college or it can be used for later on in life. But I think for kids to learn kind of kid-size money management, I like the good old 3 glass jars. just teaching them basics of how, where money comes from and what to do with it. So they can spend some now in one jar. They can save for later. And you can also help them set aside money to help others. I like to use that because they can see money going in and money going out of those jars. Unlike the magic of a credit card or money flying out of an ATM machine.
I don't know. I kind of like that money flying out of the ATM.
Who doesn't?
You do.
Yeah, we
do.
Thanks so much. Judy McNiff, certified financial planner for McNiff Money Management in Deerfield. Always appreciate you being on the show. You can check out Judy's website, howtotamethemoneymonster.com.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Hiring managers are hiring and millennials are looking. Is it a match or not? Let's talk with Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network here in Chicago. Tom, thanks for being with us. How difficult is it for hiring managers and for millennials looking for jobs actually matching up and seeing that this is something that might work?
You know, there's a surplus of recent college graduates, but what people always think of millennials is they think of 20-somethings, but millennials now are in their early 30s as well. So as it's not just the joke of millennials saying, oh, they're living in their parents' house and they don't want accountability in real work. Well, now a lot of them are getting married and they're having families and they're moving into quote-unquote more serious adulthood, and they're a great talent pool. The problem is learning how to manage them and learning what they want as much as what the employer wants.
And is that, I don't know, historically, it seems like that's a bigger challenge now than ever before. You just have these generational differences that make it so that the managers view the workplace completely differently than those new workers.
The biggest challenge is you've got people with the advent of technology and the flexibility that exists. And the biggest difference between this generation and past generations are they think it should be the same no matter how many years you've been working. They want to know the transparency that their bosses are working as well. So the art of management, it's really a skill, and you just can't manage people and not share with them what's going on. There's a different set of skills needed to be the manager, and instead what we have traditionally is saying the employee needs to change their pattern of behavior. And what's really happening now is managers need to learn different ways to manage people.
Generally, where are the jobs, Tom?
Well, we're seeing them across the board. I mean, right now, and we'll see what happens with the General Motors and the Ford and some of the downsizing that's going on. But the economy is really healthy. It's the stock market bounced back. Unemployment, we'll get new numbers for November, but I'm optimistic that they'll still be very strong. So companies are hiring across the board. But what we're seeing is the traditional areas are still very strong, and that would be hiring salespeople, technology, back office operational supply chain distribution type roles are really, and then obviously healthcare.
As you see a difference with millennial workers compared with some of the other generations in the workplace, are those managers who've maybe been around longer, are they starting to see that there's value, there's profit, there's really benefit to the company of maybe making some tweaks to the way you do business?
Yeah, what's happening now, especially with the baby boomers obviously continuing to retiring as they're at that age, is that managers know that you need millennials, you need the next generation of workers, and work has changed. And I'm really a pro-millennial employer and advocate. And what I mean by that is, I believe it's the technology that's affected the generation, not the generation itself. And there's plenty of people who are Gen Xers and even some baby boomers that their work habits have changed and their entitlements exist more because of technology too. And so if you manage millennials the right way, you can get a ton of productivity out of them. The key is you've got to make up for some of this participation trophy mentality, and that's not their fault.
And some of this counts whether you get a few years in college and a job in college. Does that set you up in the fast lane?
Yeah, there really is a standpoint now more than ever is that the work ethic of somebody who did an internship or worked their way through college is really a differentiator coming out of the market. And I think we'll see that as unemployment rises and, you know, it's a little bit more volatility and fluctuation to that number than just the steep decline we've been having over the past 3, 4, 5 years is that people want to see a work ethic, and that's really where job seekers can separate themselves.
Thanks, Tom Gimbel, for joining us. Tom is founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Still ahead, markets are closed today. We recap what's happened on Wall Street so far this week. And Personal Finance Wednesday, key advice for millennials to get retirement plans started.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. This portion of the hour is sponsored by Baird. And the markets are closed for the most part today because of the funeral. But we are open for business. And here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Chris, Wall Street, as you said, is observing the National Day of Mourning for former President George H.W. Bush. So the markets are closed today. Now, the timing of the pause coming after yesterday's substantial losses may be giving events time to catch up with the markets. Beijing starting to fill some details in, which investors did want to see yesterday. China's Commerce Ministry confirmed there is a 90-day tariff truce and that the trade negotiations have a clear timeline and a roadmap that China will move forward on areas of consensus with. Now, let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And the grains have traded all day. Corn's been in a 4-cent range from up 2 to down 2. At the moment, we have March corn up a quarter at 385. Beans have been up 4 to down 4. At the moment, January beans 913.5, up 1.75. Wheat's been down 9 to unchanged. At the moment, we have March wheat down 4 at 518.5. Cattle are up 60 to 70. Hogs are mixed, down 80 to up $1.20. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal. You can reach us at 800-779-1515.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Codo.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are closed today. We look at the markets so far this week and what's ahead.
Millennials and money. How can they start saving for retirement?
Your Cook County property taxes due next year are online now.
Striking Chicago charter school teachers stand committed while negotiations continue.
George W. Bush delivers an emotional eulogy at the funeral for his father, George H.W. Bush. CBS News is next with a special report. 27 degrees in Chicagoland as we head to a high of 34. Lots of clouds lingering, although they are breaking, and we're getting little pockets of sunshine. Tomorrow, maybe some flurries with a high of 30 degrees. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
CBS News Special Report. State funeral services were just wrapped up at the National Cathedral for former President George H.W. Bush. His son, former President George W. Bush, gave an emotional eulogy.
We tested his patience. I know I did. But he always responded with the great gift of unconditional love.
Former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson was a close friend.
He often said, when the really tough choices come, it's the country, not me. It's not about Democrats or Republicans. It's for our country that I fought for.
Historian John Meacham.
Politics, he once admitted, isn't a pure undertaking. Not if you want to win, it's not. An imperfect man, he left us a more perfect union.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Shanovic.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the markets are closed today as the nation remembers former President H.W. Bush. And let's take a look at this week so far and what is ahead of us. Joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line is Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Well, the last time we looked at the markets numbers, they're not trading today, is the Dow Industrials down 799 points. Jeff, we've had some time to think about that. What are we in right now?
Well, Chris, it was some rough sledding yesterday, no doubt about that in the markets. We saw the broader indices, the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, as well as the NASDAQ, all down over 3%. And I think there's this continued emotion in the market, and there's a lot of confusion. Let's look just to last week, Chris. We saw the best weekly gain, nearly 5% gain in the S&P 500 off of a lot of positivity, a lot of optimism that this trade tariff conversation was finally being put to bed. Then we saw the G20 meeting, and the administration, President Trump, was really excited about the takeaways from that, and then the market kind of saw through that, and the administration backpedaled a little bit of that positivity. At the end of the day, Chris, this trade tariff conversation is really moving markets. And when you see a 3%, that type of volatility, for all those people who follow the VIX, that is a VIX of like 45. That realized move of 3%, that really reveals a lot of emotion in the market. But I think it's just a little bit of overblown, because I think people are still hoping that Santa Claus is going to come down the chimney and have a little bit of a Santa Claus rally.
There was even indicators, or some people were saying, you know, this could tell us that a few months from now, you know, recession. Is that overdoing it a bit?
I think that is overdoing it a bit. And yes, we look at the interest rates. We always look for bond leadership. I started my career at the Chicago Board of Trade, so I always look to the 10-year note. What's interesting, Chris, is that you actually saw the 10-year note for the first time in a while fall under 3%. And that's a head scratcher. And when you see people buying treasuries, that does reveal a little bit of anxiety in the market. So the short end of the curve, the 2-year note, that's a lot of people talk about. When you see that inversion, and all that inversion means, Chris, is that the 2-year note is going to have a higher yield than the 10-year note, and we're pretty darn close. It's about 11 basis points away right now, the 2-year note being at 2.80%. If that does happen, that typically is a precursor of a recession out in the future, about 12 to 18 months. However, I think there's a lot more dynamic working here. We've never seen central bankers really come to the market rescue in the way they have in the last decade. So if it's the Federal Reserve here, or if it's the ECB or the Bank of Japan, we have a lot of support in the market. So I don't think it's Armageddon, but this is a volatile process. When you see rates normalize after being suppressed for so long, I think it really will move markets. But this is really providing opportunity. We like a lot of different sectors right now as they're kind of on sale.
So what do you like? What are the sectors you think are a good investment right now?
Well, you've seen a big pullback. You know, the FANG stocks, we talk about Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google. You've seen a nearly 20% pullback from the top there. And I think if you look at some of these stocks, like an Amazon or an Apple, you know, yesterday it was a bloodbath. You know, you saw Amazon down nearly 6%, but everywhere I go, I continue to see Amazon taking market share. If it's the Amazon Go in Ogilvy train station, or if it's the more and more we order here at home on Amazon. So I like Amazon, I like Apple, and I do like Microsoft and Facebook. So I think the tech sector, what we utilize a quantitative analysis, and we always want to understand where the sector tilt should be. And it's still in tech. So right now, I think there's still an allocation there. And if you're not allocated, you're underallocated, this gives you an opportunity to rebalance your portfolio and get a little more exposure into tech going into 2019.
And as you're doing that, as you're rebalancing, you thinking at all about income, maybe some protections against some of the volatility that we've been dealing with?
Well, you know, it's all dependent on risk appetite. Certainly, you know, the income component, that's for the shorter term folks that are looking to have a little bit less volatility. But if you're middle-aged or younger and you're looking for more of a growth perspective, I think that's less of an income focus. But at the end of the day, there are some yields out there. The 10-year note at 3%, that is providing a little bit of yield in a pretty yield-stricken environment. But we continue to focus on having exposure to sectors, if it's industrials, if it's technology, or if it's single-stock names that we want to have exposure to. I think that is where you see a little more alpha going in 2018 versus diving into U.S. Treasuries.
Jeff, always nice to have talk with you. Thanks for joining us today. Jeff Kilburg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday, options for saving when you are first starting out.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. How millennials can get started building a nest egg. Let's talk with Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. Craig, seems like the first thing they need to know is that they need to begin saving for retirement. A lot of them think that's something they do later on.
Yeah, I mean, time is on the young investor side. And at the end of the day, I mean, realistically, the first step in achieving financial freedom, it's just to invest. I mean, it might be the only way to really free ourselves from ever being dependent upon a paycheck. And I think the best way for people to get started is actually just to look at what's easy. And what should be first and foremost for everyone is just participating in that company-sponsored retirement plan.
If they do that, and that is wise, because especially if there's any sort of matching contributions, that's like free money. If they do that, they may be overwhelmed by all of the fund options. What should they do in that regard?
Well, I think we take the guesswork out of it. You know, we've talked about this before on the Noon Business Hour for young investors. You know, Warren Buffett has always said the only free lunch when it comes to investing is diversification. And I can't think of any better way to get low-cost, dirt-cheap diversification than simply to go into that menu of options and pick a simple index fund, a.k.a. the S&P 500, is a great launching point for everyone.
Would that be the first step you would recommend if somebody said to you, what do I do first?
Every day of the week, you know, we'll have, you know, our core clients ask us about their adult children who are starting off in investing. And I say, let's keep it simple. Let's just pick a single fund, either the S&P 500 or an appropriate, what I call target retirement date fund. And then I challenge them and I say, it's not about picking funds. It's all about taxes. And for young professionals that haven't yet hit their stride, meaning they're going to have maximum wages in the future, they have lower wages when they're just starting out, it should be a Roth 401k if it's available, not the traditional pre-tax version.
What about an older person who hasn't really thought about getting involved in all of that? How can you catch up?
Well, I think, a couple ways. You know, the first is, America is undersaved. We all, generally speaking, got on this too late. And I think for those of us that are playing catch-up, the first thing is you need to go get some advice. Work with a certified financial planner that's going to help you list out your goals and provide you some tweaks relative to taxes and creative ideas to increase the efficacy of each dollar. But then for the people that are just starting savings at a later date, the same truths hold themselves to be self-evident. Keep the investment simple while we're growing capital. Again, a target date fund or a low-cost index fund.
Good advice. Craig Bolanos, founding partner, chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. Thanks for being with us. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday. Still to come, we talk property taxes with the Cook County Treasurer.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Cook County residents who want to pay property taxes that are due next year can do it now. We welcome back to the Noon Business Hour Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas. Maria, thanks for joining us today. Why would I want to pay my taxes now?
Because you may be a snowbird. You may have decided that based upon the new law
instituted in Washington, D.C. by the Trump administration, that if your cap's around $10,000 and you check with your accountant, you may want to take a deduction this year for next year's taxes. You need to just grab a pencil, go to cookcountytreasurer.com, cookcountytreasurer.com, and if you've ever owned a piece of property in the county of Cook over the last 20 years, the records of each of your pieces of property is available to you. It will tell you whether or not you're one of the 94 million people who's entitled to a refund. If you're a senior citizen, it will tell you going back 4 years, as well as any other homeowner, whether or not you were entitled to an exemption, a senior freeze, or a homestead, and whether or not you got it. You can pay online. If your mail hasn't come, you can go to this site, cookcountytreasurer.com. You can immediately download a copy of your previous March, August bill or the March bill coming up, and you can pay it at your convenience. We've had 800,000 people come to our website in 1 month. So what we're doing is encouraging all your listeners to go to cookcountytreasurer.com. They can pay online. They can get an entire history of their property online, and they may be one of the people who's entitled to the $136 million. We're actually looking for those homeowners to give them their money.
What was the challenge, Maria, for so long with dealing with online payments? I mean, you've now really stepped up a lot of new technology so that people can do that, but it took a while. Was it costs? What was it?
Yeah, when we had 258 people when I came in here, we're down to 68. 35 of them are full-time programmers. So what you need to get things online is people who can program it, not people who sit at the counter and talk to people. You need an office where everybody is driven to a website, or and this website now is up in 126 languages. We've had 400,000 downloads in foreign languages. So you've got to be user-friendly. You don't need people to come down here, come to the counter and say, how do I solve my problem in Chinese? You need them to go to the website. It's all there in Mandarin.
Are you also mailing out this opportunity?
We are mailing, but we've had over 100,000 people sign up for e-billing. People don't want to deal with mail anymore. They just want to get their bill in their email. We're emailing them their bill. I mean, hopefully at some point in time, the way technology is going, we won't be mailing anything out. Just go online, print it, pay it, be done with it.
All right, Maria Pappas, appreciate you being with us. Maria is Cook County Treasurer. You'll find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. Business news from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of business news. Sponsored by All Chocolate Kitchens Primo at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco Wall Street is observing custom today, closing for the day because of the funeral of former President George H.W. Bush. The last time Wall Street closed for such an occasion, nearly 12 years ago, for the January 2007 funeral of former President Gerald Ford. China, meantime, has come out with some confirmation that Wall Street was eager to hear when markets were open, that there is a 90-day tariff truce with the U.S., and that it plans to move ahead fast on issues on which the two nations agree. Chinese officials are suggesting that nation will step up purchases of U.S. farm and energy products, but there are no details. There are about three dozen Wells Fargo district managers looking for jobs now. The Wall Street Journal says the big bank is firing them for oversight failures related to the phony account scandal at the bank. They were spared when the company fired 5,300 workers related to the millions of fake accounts opened to meet two lofty company sales goals. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.